The new film Cloverfield is about a giant monster running amok in New York City. It has a relatively low budget, a cast of unknowns, and is directed by Matt Reeves, co-creator of the TV series Felicity. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
It has been a decade since the release of The Blair Witch Project, which was shot with one video camera from the point of view of the character holding it. The movie proved that when you eliminate the omniscient perspective, when you show the audience only what a single character sees and no more, you introduce a note of irrational terror that millions of dollars of computer-generated effects can't touch. Blair Witch was a ghost story, though, a genre in which less is always more. What if you use the same vantage for a giant monster picture, a spectacle, Godzilla through the eyes or lens of a person way down below trying not to get stomped? That was the hook of a script by Drew Goddard, which producer J.J. Abrams snapped up and turned into Cloverfield. Why the name Cloverfield? It's supposed to be the Army code word for the monster, but it's really an in-joke. As with Blair Witch, the buzz was generated by a so-called viral internet marketing campaign, and the fans' incessant prying led the filmmakers to refer to their project by the name of a street outside Abrams' West Hollywood office. The non-title seemed somehow appropriate and stuck. So finally we come to the film, which centers on a bunch of attractive 20-somethings at a party in a lower Manhattan loft for Rob, who's taking a job in Japan and leaving behind Beth, the old friend he can't bring himself to tell he adores. To document the festivities, Rob's brother Jason and girlfriend Lily thrust a digital video camera into the hands of Hud, a lovable loser with a crush on a dark-eyed beauty named Marlena, who couldn't find him more boring. Hud walks around for a long time, sticking his camera in people's faces, and we wait, semi-bored, but with a tingling sense of anticipation. We listen beyond the party chatter for sounds of oncoming catastrophe. And when it comes, boom, the partygoers gather in front of the TV set.
Hey, where are you?
What was that?
What was that?
Hey, you all right?
Yeah.
You see anything?
I know. Hey, Marlena. Marlena, are you okay?
Guys, look at this.
Okay.
Oh, wait, here we go.
Oh, wait.
Okay,
everyone quiet down. Here we go.
You all right?
But, now,
shut up.
Guys, come on.
Minutes after word of a possible earthquake in Lower Manhattan, nearby in New York Harbor, we're getting word of an oil tanker capsizing in the middle of the harbor near the Statue of Liberty. Once again,
weaving soap opera problems in and out of apocalyptic carnage is always a challenge, as the tinier director Roland Emmerich proved in his Godzilla remake and The Day After Tomorrow. But Cloverfield mostly gets by because the personal can't not be in the foreground. Rob is determined to get to Midtown to rescue Beth. Marlena and Lily and Jason tag along, and all of them are captured on video by Hud, who takes seriously his responsibility to document the crisis, and whose shooting is bracingly un-Hollywood-like. The actors are appealing, although at a certain point, I wish Beth gave us more of a reason to want to see her rescued than a pair of great legs. Still, if Rob and the others fled Manhattan at the outset, this wouldn't be much of a movie. As they make their way toward Midtown, the head of the Statue of Liberty flies into the street. Tanks roll by. The sky is lit by yellowish smoke. Buildings collapse in huge clouds of dust. We see the great reptilian beast for only brief instants via a swerving camera, which means our imagination fills in the rest. No scientist explains where it has come from, a government experiment, an underwater chamber. To make matters worse, it didn't come alone. It shakes off spider-like parasites that rip people up and infect survivors with something deeply icky. Of course, the notion of Hud picking up his camera after a bloody parasite attack on the group is more improbable than a giant monster flattening Manhattan, and the kid in you might crave a more objective view of the creature, not to mention the catharsis that comes from watching science and the military collaborate on bringing the monster down. That said, we've seen that monster movie again and again, and we haven't seen anything with Cloverfield's subjective sting. The devastation of Manhattan inevitably invokes 9/11, the limited vantage, an easy way for the filmmakers to exploit our newly stoked imaginations of disaster without bothering about context. So Cloverfield is a shallow exercise. But you'd have to be tougher than I am not to be blown sideways by it.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.